I'm David Hayward, the Naked Pastor. This is the Lasting Supper Wraps, exclusive for members only. This is food we don't want you to share. Today we're talking with Lisa Sampson. She's a member of the Lasting Supper. She's an author. She wanted this to be exclusive for members only, and you're going to see why in just a second. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, David.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for letting me share this thing. This thing. It's such a thing. Oh, my God.
I know it is such a thing. And this is, I'm just letting everybody know that this is solely for members of the Lasting Supper, exclusive podcast just for members of the Lasting Supper. Because why?
Well, I have been writing mostly fiction for the evangelical market. My first book was published in 1994. So, you know, writing-wise, I've been writing for over two decades. And, you know, my journey is apparent in my novels, but at the same time, the last couple years have been on turbo, and not many people know just how far off the reservation I've gone.
Have you gone native yet?
No, I don't think I've quite gone native, but I'm definitely up near the fence. I don't know if I'm on the fence. I don't want to look back in and see where I was, but
yeah, so
at the same time, you know.
So you're known as an evangelical Christian author of fiction, pretty much.
Yes.
And how many books have you written?
I've written 30, well, I'm finishing up my 34th. I've got 32 out
there at this point.
That's
more than one book a year.
Yes. Yes, it is. I went crazy for a little while there. I was putting my soon-to-be ex-husband, helping him get through his PhD. And so at one point, I wrote over three books in 2 years. No. What was that? No, I'm sorry. 11 books in 3.5 years.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You're crazy. So ex-husband?
Almost. And we're just waiting for the papers to be signed.
Oh.
They're on the judge's desk. Everything is in order. And now we're just waiting. So I was interested in the whole thing about the fallout of what happens with something like this and with relationships. You know, that's a very interesting topic. I guess I'm still a little too raw to talk about, but just know anybody else that's going through that or has been through it, I'm amongst your numbers, honey. I'm amongst your numbers.
Wow, you're in a fairly vulnerable sounds weak. I don't mean weak, but I mean you're in a pretty raw place right now. It sounds like.
Yes, raw but filled with excitement. I just bought, I shook hands on a Westfalia van, Volkswagen van, and I'm going to go traveling around the country, which has been a big dream of mine. So, you know, I'm trying to fill up what was with the dreams that I've had that still fit well and, you know, just have good dreams and dreams for the future, you know. I've been reading this Buddhist monk who's Canadian, by the way. And she was talking about this state of hopelessness. So I was like, I'm going to try that on for a couple of days. And
finish.
I was so depressed. I was like, I don't like this. I love a lot about Buddhism and Zen and Eastern thought, but I'm like, no, this can't be what she meant.
Are you talking about Pema Chodron?
Pardon me?
Are you talking about Pema Chodron?
Yes, exactly. All things fall apart.
Yeah, well, I love her. I love her stuff.
I do too, but boy, I mean, I must not be getting exactly what she's saying. And you know, when you start delving into new stuff, there's a different vocabulary, right?
Yeah.
So like, what means hopeless to a Christian does not necessarily mean hopeless to a Buddhist or anybody else. What means hopeless to me might not be hopeless to you. So my sense of hopelessness was not good.
Well, you're on the East Coast. Am I correct?
That's where I'm from, but I live in Kentucky.
Oh, okay. If you come this way, you know, you could go visit Pema Chodron. She's not far from here.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, the Buddhist monastery is just a few hours away from here, where she's the abbess.
Oh, see, that's awesome. I love what she's saying. I just, I'm one of these people. I'm either all in or I'm all out, practically.
Yeah,
You know what I
yeah.
mean? So I'm like, okay, let me try this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! So a little detachment, even from the teachings of detachment, would be good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, why? Okay. You're interesting. Well, everybody's interesting, but I find it interesting that you found your way to the Lasting Supper, and you. I love the way you write, by the way, and everybody seems to be noticing. When you put a post up on the secret Facebook group or whatever,
Oh,
you
good.
get a
Yeah.
lot of comments about your writing, so you've made quite a journey to, evangelical Christian fiction author of 34 book, or you're on your 34th, and now you're in the Lasting Supper. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about your journey?
Oh, well, I look back and I can see several milestones. And of course, there's all the life you live in between. But you know what? The very first thing that got me started, there are three things that I would say were sort of the triangle of change that got me
Like the
started.
Bermuda Triangle.
Exactly. And suddenly I found myself, I disappeared. Like, what the
Yeah.
hell happened? Oh my
Yeah.
gosh, there's some magnetic force and I don't know what to call it anymore,
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But the first thing was I went to you've heard of Leonard Sweet, the
Yep.
author. Okay, I love him and he's such a wonderful man. And so I would go to his advances and he said something to me that was life-changing. This was the very first thing that started my thinking was it's not always either or, it can be both and.
Right.
Well, that's huge.
Yeah.
That has so many ramifications. And so then I thought, oh, okay, well, yeah. And so then my view of who's a Christian
Yeah.
got real big. So then once you start allowing other people to be in your tribe, then suddenly, the world becomes a much bigger place, and then the lines of who's in and who's out start to get fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier as the years go on and you read what people write and
Yeah.
you meet people of different persuasions,
Right.
and then you're like, wow, this is a really good person. Wow. So like this person is going to hell, but
Yeah.
that mean lady at church who I can't sing one damn praise song to please her is just fine. You know what I mean? Or whatever. So you start. So that was number one. Number two was I got rid of the rapture. Like, oh, that end times theology stuff.
Yeah.
Very soon after that, I was like, wait a second. This makes no sense whatsoever. And all
Well.
these verses I read could be the second coming. And then, I mean, it's been two. And then, of course, after that, it's been 2,000 years. I don't know if it's really shaken down like we think it's going to shake down, if anything's going to even shake down until like the sun gets too hot and
Yeah.
the earth is swallowed up, and our
Yeah.
star does its thing, But it was just sort of like, so that was the thing when as soon as I got rid of that, then that would gave me permission. It was the first card that
Right.
fell. And then once that starts happening, then more can start.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know the game Jenga
Yes.
with the little wooden blocks, and you build a big, and then you have to start removing little Jenga blocks,
Yep.
and the one who makes the whole tower fall loses. And it reminds me of that. That's what happened with me. And it was with the inspiration of Scripture. That was the first Jenga block that made everything else start to tumble down.
That was my third Jenga block. My second Jenga block was hell,
Okay.
as an eternal torment kind of thing. And that was huge. That was huge. And that was part of that whole process, hell. And then it came to the whole inspiration of the scriptures. And
Yeah.
gosh, once you start thinking about that, then you start asking, you know, well, what is truth?
Yeah. Well, when did you first fly into this triangle of questions?
Well, I just turned 49, and I flew into the triangle of questions about 10 years ago. Maybe a little bit, but I stalled. I stalled in the social justice God part of it for a while, for quite a while. And don't get me wrong, I still think all that stuff is really, really important. But what I found is I seem to be going from one fundamentalism to another.
Yeah.
And do I think all that stuff and all those people and what's happening in the world somebody needs to care and do something about it? Absolutely. But I found it was just another way for me to check boxes.
Wow. I like the way you said that, moving from one fundamentalism to another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I see it everywhere. And this is why, like, I don't give any labels for myself. I'm, you know, because as soon as you do, there's a fundamentalist. There's fundamentalist liberals. I mean, I meet them every day, you know, because I have friends on both ends of the spectrum. And it's like they're every bit as much full of certitude and pomposity as anybody else, you know. And I just don't want to be around that anymore. It's really just like, it's such a downer. And I have this radar for it. Like, ding! It's like, here's somebody else trying to tell everybody else what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I forget the author's name, Christopher Hutchins, I think, where he says that it's a fundamentalist mindset. It's not necessarily the theology you embrace. It's a mindset that requires sort of a fundamentalist posture. And I agree with you. I see it all over the place.
I do too. And if it's either in the form of you're just a morally bankrupt person, that's what I see a lot on the more conservative side of fundamentalism. And then on the more liberal side of fundamentalism, you know, leading over towards the fundamentalist atheists, is that you're all stupid. So it's like you're either a terrible sinner on one side, or you're just stupid for these people. And it's just like, I don't want to be a part of something that is built on ridiculing other people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Lisa, maybe you don't want to go here. Did you find that your change, your internal transformation, theologically, spiritually, did that affect your significant relationships?
For a time, it was very interesting. My husband, he went through a lot of the changes as well. Into the more emergent social justice, Shane Claiborne.
Yeah.
We moved down into an intentional community here in Lexington to do intentional community life type stuff.
Wow.
And we moved our family from Baltimore. And so he went through all those changes. And I was Miss Republican, you know, like, oh dear God, please let George Bush get in, you know. It was funny because his theological shifting wasn't as hard for me as the as the political shift at first. I'm like crying, what do you mean you think the war is bad? And now I'm just like, so what happened was, you know, so we moved down here and did all that. And then I started taking martial art. And so my sensei and I got into a lot of great spiritual discussions, and I just started opening my eyes. And because he wasn't from, like, as a Christian talking to another Christian that's going through this, a lot of times, even an understanding Christian isn't going to go so far.
Right.
As to say, or somebody that has been one isn't going to go so far as to say, why? This doesn't make any sense. Why? Why did this all have to happen? Like, why did God have to do all this stuff? You know, as far as Christianity and Jesus and this, it's like, you mean, really? How does one man dying take away the sins of the whole world? I mean, really, if God is who you say, why would he do that to his son? Why would he you know, send all these people to hell. Why? You know, and so somebody was bold enough to just ask me why.
Right.
And I found out I really didn't have good answers to it. And so I just was like, all right, I'm just going to, I went back to the Catholic Church in the meantime. I needed a hiatus into something that was just all set for me. My mind was spinning. So for about 3 years, I went back to the Catholic Church and I was, I just needed almost like a religious breather. You know what I mean? No brainer. Just go take the Eucharist, come home.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
You know, glory be to the Father and to the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you know what I mean? And that was good for me. It was a really good time because it almost gave me the fortitude and the break in between religious, like the evangelical world, and then what was to come.
Right.
And so yeah. And then I went further with it than my husband did.
Yeah.
And so our foundation of our marriage was very much the church and ministry and serving and, you know, Christianity. And I would still self-identify as a Christian because I still love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who he really was, but I do know I love him. Like, I just love Jesus. I do. I just do. Jesus, I just, oh. And, but I don't know what to call him anymore. And I would label as a Christian as, you know, just in the broad term, but I don't think a lot of other people would anymore.
Yeah.
That's kind of a hard spot to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, wow, how has this affected your writing?
Oh my gosh, it's been really hard to write.
Are you trying to still publish in the same vein, or are you leaking through now in your characters?
Well, I've leaked through for years.
Uh-huh.
So I was one of the more edgy writers that people would, I've never thought to ask these questions. You know, I was always, for years I've been, let me just see if I can give them some different questions to ask, because I'm never going to give people the answer. I don't have the answer. But if I can give them different questions to ask than they've been asking, maybe they'll come up with some different thoughts than they would have had before.
Yeah.
So that's always been my goal. So through the years, you can see these questions that I'm asking, I'm encouraging my readers to ask, but now, you know, I don't know if I want to tell them to ask. I don't even know if I want them to ask my questions, because it's almost like, well, you know, you may end up really where you didn't want to be or where you didn't think you were.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of like a heavy load for me. I'm trying to write books as spiritually, not ones I feel like I'm compromising what I've come to see for now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, something that I know that my readers will relate with. And that has been very much attention. I've got one more book to do with my current publisher, or I would probably not be writing for the evangelical market, but I do have these responsibilities I have to.
Is anybody noticing a change through your writing? Has anybody made a comment?
No, because people have been with me for 20 years.
Okay.
So they just haven't been with me for, I haven't written, I haven't written a real book of my heart since I've went through this, you know, since I've started going through the last couple of years of intense spiritual change.
Yeah. You know, I haven't read any of your books, but I have friends who have, and I didn't realize this until today, but you're the same person. I hear them often talking about your books, and even some of them are saying, I'd actually like to become a Quaker.
Like
your latest book is Quaker Summer, right?
Well, no, that was published, oh gosh, a while ago.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your latest book?
Public. That was definitely my best-selling one.
Oh, okay.
And the one that seemed to strike a chord with most people.
Yeah, yeah. So should we feel sorry for you?
No, please. I feel like I've been shot out of a gun.
Out of the cannon.
Yeah.
You're the clown that's been shot out of the cannon.
Yeah, I was sitting there today having my, I decided to stop smoking as much, but I have to make each cigarette an event. I can't just incorporate it into the
rest. Listen, the way you described smoking that cigarette on the face. There were several of us, I'm sure, were reaching for a cigarette after that.
I know. Well, it was just beautiful. And, you know, the cigarette made it beautiful. And I didn't have to feel that bad about the cigarette anymore because, you know, I'm not worried about the whole girls that don't smoke or chew or go with the boys that do. Yeah, you know, that's just not in my thing anymore. Yeah. So
you're doing good. We don't need to worry about you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to be a little bit more responsible. But I was sitting outside my yard and I was, you know, I was having a cigarette and I thought about how free I feel. And I thought about the dreams I have, the, you know, this traveling and meeting people and just living life one day to the other. Mm-hmm. And I feel so much freer that I don't have these heavy expectations of myself in the name of God.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have that anymore. And that is it's a wonderful place to be, you know. Yeah. It's as hard as hell and quite torturous getting there.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say to anybody that's listening, if you're in the midst of the torture part, just, you know, it does get easier. I mean, wouldn't you say all in all, it gets easier?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I feel like my journey is never ending, but certainly... Right. I'm on a plateau right now, but getting to this plateau was very arduous and dangerous, and I almost didn't make it a couple of times, but
yeah.
I'm sure glad I hung in there. And then, it's been nine months, I think, since I started the Lasting Supper, and, you know, meeting other people on the Lasting Supper, meeting people like you, and being able to, you know, just hang out with them and be honest with them and not get shot at.
Yeah.
It's just made all the difference in my life.
Absolutely. I'm so glad I found it. Cause I mean, I've been following your cartoons and then I got on Patheos or however you pronounce it. And then, and then I found The Lasting Supper and I was like, oh yay. I mean, I knew there were other people out there like me, my gosh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't have, it's hard for these people to meet up. That's the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about putting up an ad on Craigslist saying, hey, you know, I've been thinking about this for months, you know. Of course, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I know. Woman looking for fellowship. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. Fellowship. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, but it's nice to, and you know, I've actually seen a couple people I know. I was like, oh wow, I didn't know you were in this.
Yeah. They're probably saying the same about you.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's just been delightful, you know,
yeah.
And I love the Facebook page, by the way. Great, great, great addition. Cause I'm always on Facebook. So now I don't have to go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that was Pam Werner and Moxie Rocks and these people thought it would be a great idea. And so we started it. I was a little hesitant at first, but man, it's really chitty chatty. A lot of stuff going on there. I'm glad we did it too. Hey, Lisa, any parting shots you want to make? Remarks you want to make to the Lasting Supper folks, or anything you want to say, or anything you didn't get to say?
Well, not really. I mean, I guess I've read a lot of the Tao Te Ching, and I'm trying to take life as it comes. So if our time is coming to a close, I can accept that.
Well, listen, you know what? I want to interview you again when you're ready to go completely out of the closet.
Okay.
So when you feel like you're ready and you want the world to know, we'll get you on a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, David. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the community you've built and are building, and just very, very thankful for you.
Well, really nice talking to you. What book would you like to steer people towards? Is there any title in particular?
The one that most deeply expressed myself at the time and still probably in some way expresses just the kind of person and the yearning that I have. And I think it's my favorite book, the way it's written too. It's called The Passion of Mary Margaret. And it's about a woman who is almost taken her vows as a religious sister, and she gets the word from the Lord that she needs to marry a syphilitic male prostitute.
Uh-huh.
So there's a little interesting spin for you.
That is an interesting spin. I'm going to have to order that.
So that, but it is my favorite.
Okay. So yeah, sounds great. Listen, Lisa, it's really nice to meet you. I'm so glad you're a part of the Lasting Supper. And thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, David.
Okay, we'll talk again soon. Bye
bye. All right. Bye bye.